Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We have another special episode today on The Bad Batch. And so as we're doing these kind of bonus episodes of our podcast, we really thank you so much for joining us around the virtual coffee table. I am your co-host, Stephen Boster, along with my illustrious co-host, Michael Shanks. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good morning, all you geeks in geekdom land.
Welcome, welcome indeed. So, hey, can I just say, I love our intro music. I think that gets me jazzed every time we're doing that and, you know, bopping our heads to the music. So, you know, kind of a thing. So if you are a Ko-fi subscriber, or if you're curious about some of the videos to our podcast, you can check out our Ko-fi page, kind of like Patreon, but we like it better.
Yep. It's cheaper.
But we're pretty excited to have those. And so thank you so much for joining us. If you want to check out our website, twogeeksmike.com, the number two, geeksmike.com. That's kind of like our hub for our Facebook page, hey, we should tell everybody, we have a Twitter account now.
We have a Twitter account.
We do. We got a Twitter account now.
I don't know what the heck I'm doing on Twitter, but
we're figuring it out. We're such old geezers.
Yeah. We're still the Facebook guys.
Right. So we've got our Facebook page. It'll take you there. We got our Ko-fi page. And that's my point is we've got for $2 a month, you can pay month by month or however much you want to do or one time. You get access to all kind of extra content and bonuses, and we have videos of some of our podcasts that we like or people have asked for, so which is pretty good. Love that, and I'm pretty excited that now through Podbean we are shooting out through
automated. Automated.
Yeah. Right. So if you want to, we realize some people actually, like myself, but we've had some people ask about YouTube, right? Saying, hey, is your podcast on YouTube? And we're like, it's an audio podcast. Why would we, you know? And but there are a lot of people who just listen, even though there are some videos or video podcasts, they just listen to them. And especially, what is it? YouTube Premium. If you pay for that, you can actually not shut off your phone. You shut off your screen and it will still play. And I think a lot of people are doing that. So we have that now. So if you like YouTube, our audio podcast will go there as well. And also you'll start seeing some posts on like my LinkedIn page. You'll see some posts through our Facebook, automatically to Facebook. I'm loving Podbean.
Podbean's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
If any of you out there are wanting to do a podcast, it is grueling trying to figure. Everybody has their opinion on what hosting service you should use. And we struggled. We were like, let's do Podbean, because I dinked around with Podbean before a couple of years ago, and we'll just do it. And I've already got something. So I'm telling you what, we're on a couple of Facebook groups that have this discussion, and not a lot of people talk about Podbean.
Yeah, yeah. It seems to be one of the lesser of the podcast hosting sites. But I think you made a good choice. I'm really enjoying them. And then the fact that we just found out that they do all this automated stuff where when we post a podcast episode, it automatically sends it to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Well, we don't have an Instagram account, but I think it goes to Instagram too if we had an Instagram.
I think it does Tumblr and something else. Yeah.
I don't even know what in the world Tumblr is. I'm so old, right. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Well, we've only been doing this for, 4 months, and we now found this capability within Podbean.
Right. All right. Hey, look what it does.
Right? That was so funny. Well, hey, thank you, everybody, for joining us. Kind of went a little bit on there about just kind of the exciting things we've got going on. And we're always continuously developing and stuff. But still, as always, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your comments, your suggestions. We're here with you to talk all things geekdom. And with that said, okay, here we go. Bad Batch, episode five. What was this episode called? I forgot already.
Oh, shoot. I wasn't even ready for that. hang on. Let's see.
Everybody, this is called filler, so I'm just going to keep talking until he finds what the episode's called. Oh, some geez. Of you are screaming in at the radios again.
You should already know this. Yes, you're right. I should know this. Oh, dang it. Okay. Wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out where I should go.
Do you happen to remember how many episodes we're supposed to get, though?
I want to say 16. Actually, let me go to IMDb.
I think this is a little bit of a filler episode for me. There were some interesting connections.
Yeah, I wanted to get things. your thoughts on that. In a way, I kind of felt it was a slightly filler episode, too. I still liked it, though. I thought it was a good episode. Yes, according to according to IMDb, there are 16 episodes.
Okay.
And this one's called Rampage. Rampage.
That's what it was, Rampage.
I'd say that's pretty good title for that.
It was a good title for that. Yeah. It's apropos. for this episode.
Wow. That's a big, French word?
It's a $3 word. Yeah. Apropos. $3 word.
It might be a $3.50 word.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So, all right. So, here is my overall kind of thought process. It was, for me, it was a filler episode. It's only like 25 minutes. I guess they're all only like half an hour anyway.
Yeah, right. It's that's your standard animated series.
Right. Yeah. There are a couple of things I enjoyed about it, and we'll talk about those.
IMDb doesn't give the runtime.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
That was the first thing I looked at last night, because I was like, oh man, I got all this other stuff I got to do.
I guess if I went on Disney Plus, it'd probably give it, but
it does. It does on Plus. Yeah. So, overall, not a bad episode. It wasn't bad.
No,
I think it was filler. I think it had some neat points to it. I think I enjoyed some of the connections that it made that we'll discuss. That was kind of fun.
We had a fun surprise voice in it. I don't know if you caught that.
I did not. Okay.
Especially for us Gen Xers, it was a good surprise. I thought it was anyway.
Okay. So. Okay. Cool. Let's see what else. If I had to give it, out of five lightsabers, I'd probably give it a 3.5 out of five. Kind of a thing. That would be my rating, kind of a thing. So, wasn't bad.
No,
it wasn't spectacular. Had some neat little things in it, but for me, that would be my assessment overall.
I would give it three lightsabers.
Oh, three out of five. Okay.
Three out of five.
Whoa!
I don't think that's bad. I don't think that's bad. It's still over half.
But for you to go lower than me on stuff on a Star.
Well,
Wars
I have a particular reason though.
Okay, we'll get to that. Okay.
And it comes in it towards the end, and it's like, yeah, this dropped a couple notches. Okay. Well, I wouldn't say a couple notches. It dropped probably a notch.
All right. Okay. All right. Very cool.
Just because they're trying to force me into something, and I don't like it.
Okay. All right. So I guess we'll just start walking through the episode then.
Okay.
All right. First off, Can I just say, I love their ship.
I said that too when the ship flew in. I was like, man, I really like their ship. It is cool.
I did last night. My brain went, you know, I don't collect, you know, I'm not in figure collecting like you are.
Right.
Kind of a thing. You know, I've got one really cool Ben Kenobi Lego, you know, thing. And that's pretty much the gist of my big collection stuff. But I was like, you know, I wonder if I should order that ship. Try to figure it, you know.
And I'm sitting here looking at my half of my Mando retro action figure collection right in front of my monitor.
Right. Amongst all the figures you have on your wall and that kind of
thing. Oh, yeah. I got a lot.
Right. But I that ship is just cool. It's like a cross between, when I was looking at it on there, I was like, man, that's got like the wings have that look of the TIE fighters. They have that look, but then it looks like a
Imperial
version of the Imperial shuttle kind
right.
of a thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's meant to, but I think it looks better than the Imperial shuttle. It looks sleeker.
Oh, it's hard for me to say better because the Imperial shuttle is, you know, that's
a listen to me very closely. It's better.
Oh, brother. Well, you've been wrong before, and you'll be wrong again. So, it's hard for me to say better because the Imperial Shuttle is original trilogy, and I have a hard time saying anything's better than the original trilogy because, let's face it, the original trilogy is the best. Come on.
It is good. The original trilogy is good, you know, but you can always improve on old stuff.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. Some classics are always classics, and you don't improve
on
that.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
All right.
You know, there's this group. Oh gosh, I can't remember the name of it, but they've redone I can't even think of the word on some, but like one of the old Elvis Presley songs, Bossa Nova Baby. Dude, they did a great job. Like it's a remix. It was really good. But anyway, I'm just saying you can remix some classics and give them a new flavor. So I'm saying the new Imperial Shuttle, that is the Bad Batch Shuttle is a nice new flavor of that. And I like it a lot.
No, I like it too. I said I liked it. I think it's a cool looking ship.
Right. All right. So
if I had the place for it and they made a toy out of it, I'd probably get it. I don't have a place for it though. I don't have a lot of vehicles. Vehicles take up a lot of room.
They take up a lot of space.
I do have the original Slave One though.
Right.
Anyway.
For those who don't know, Mike is a big old Boba Fett fan.
Yes,
big time.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So just like we're doing special bonus episodes of Bad Batch, just wait till the Book of Boba Fett comes out.
Oh.
Holy moly.
That's when I'm going to go wild. I can't wait.
Right?
I mean, as much as I loved Mando, yeah, Book of Boba Fett, in my opinion, is going to blow that away.
Yep. So, you know, let's go ahead and tie in Book of Boba Fett. So this episode begins. They're trying to figure out who's the bounty hunter. They're like, we got to find out who the bounty hunter is and why they're after the girl.
Oh, yeah. Good connection there. Yep.
And I was like, oh, well, we already know.
Yeah, we know.
We already know it's Fennec.
Right.
And so we're like, okay, so they go to this planet. I guess they're going there and they're like, don't we want to stay Lalo or something like that? And they're like, well, let's, you know, we've got to find out what's going on. So they land on this planet and they follow their way around to find Cid. Now, do you remember, you know, they talk about Cid and being a contact. Do you remember any of those episodes from where that came from?
I really don't. I
don't either.
I don't remember.
I'm not saying they didn't.
Did you notice that Cid is actually a Trandoshan?
No.
She's Bossk. You know, Bossk the bounty hunter from Empire Strikes Back. He's a Trandoshan. She's the same as him, which I found fascinating because I was like, I didn't know Trandoshan spoke basic.
wasn't he using a translator?
Bossk didn't have any line.
The Bad Batch guys, didn't they have a translator or something with them?
Oh.
We saw that later in the episode for sure.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to go back and look. I don't know.
They may not have used it.
I think she just spoke basic. Because when we see, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't jump there, but we see her talking to a hologram of someone, and he's speaking in, I don't know if I should say what he's speaking in, but
Huttese.
Yeah, he's speaking in Huttese. All right. He's speaking in Huttese.
Look, we're going to bounce all around. We just get started at the beginning and then we just go, it's organic. It's coffee table talk.
Sure. Well, he's speaking in Huttese, but she's still speaking in Basic and they're nowhere to be seen. So I think she's speaking in Basic. I don't think. Well, and when I say she's speaking in Basic, that means that's Star Wars talk for she's speaking in English. Just in case any listeners do not know that.
I figured.
You were just pretending to know what I was talking
playing
about.
Along. Like, okay, the podcast. I don't want to say anything in front of anybody. What's he talking about? Basic. I don't understand. Oh, English. Oh, okay.
Basic is Star Wars. Basic is Star Wars talk for English. Anyway,
right.
But there's something else interesting about that character. The voice. As soon as I heard the voice, I went, I know that voice. And I have to say this, otherwise she's going to get very upset with me. But okay. Brenda called it. Brenda called who the voice was.
Okay.
Do you have any guess of who that voice was? Somebody from a very popular TV show in the 80s. That's why I said that this was kind of a fun Easter egg for us Gen Xers.
Linda Carter.
No.
Linda, she's 70s.
That's 70s.
She was 70s.
That's 70s. What are some of the most popular shows of the 80s? I'll give you a slight hint. Norm!
Shelley Long?
No, it wasn't Shelley Long.
Kirstie Alley.
No, one more. Try one more.
Oh, I don't remember her name. The short one, the real funny one. She was
Carla.
Was awesome. Yeah,
it was Carla. It's Rhea Perlman. It's Rhea Perlman.
Rhea Perlman.
Yep.
She was a hoot on that show.
Oh yeah. As soon as I heard her voice, I'm like, I know that voice. Where do I know that?
Rhea Perlman.
That was Rhea Perlman. Yeah, because Brenda's like that. That's Rhea Perlman.
Man,
and I was like, that may be because as soon as I heard it, I'm like, boom.
That's impressive to pick out that voice.
Oh yeah, she already said you better tell that I called that.
So. All right, everybody, kudos.
So it's on record. Brenda. I gave her credit
right?
for it.
It well deserved, actually. Well deserved. That is impressive, actually. That's impressive.
I thought it was a cool little Easter egg. I was like, oh wow, that's neat. Right. I like Carla. I always liked her character, and you know she was kind of.
Now we just gotta wait. We gotta wait for John Ratzenberger to show up in the Star Wars.
Well,
he has, and we haven't realized it.
He works for Disney. He does every other Disney thing. He does
Monster.
Yeah,
he's
you know
Toy Story.
Well, you know now technically he was in the original trilogy. Did you know
really?
That? Yeah.
No.
Yep. He is a rebel trooper in Hoth. I'll have to show it to you sometime. But yeah.
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah. So yes, even I think
I've seen a picture of that.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Technically, okay. I have his action figure. It's not credited that way, but I look at it as. Right. Look, this is Cliff.
Wouldn't that be funny if you had your figure and we were at a Comic-Con or something and he was there and you got him to sign?
Oh,
it.
I'm sure that's happened. It has to.
I'm sure it has.
Right. I'll bet somebody's had it carded and had him sign. Oh gosh. I wish I could have it carded and him sign it. That'd be awesome. Okay, anyway, we are going way off subject now.
Now we're coffee table. It's all good. All right, so Rhea Perlman doing the voice of Sid.
Yeah.
Sid, there's a whole section where the little girl picks up, you're Sid, and then they do this whole thing. She's the kid smarter than you guys, you know, kind of a thing. I was like, oh, okay, whatever, you know.
Well, you know, that's a trope they have to do.
Yeah. Right, I'll give you that. Okay.
The big dumb, true. They're the big dumb army guys, and yeah, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say I did like the aspect.
I'm not saying that army guys are dumb, by the way.
No, no, but they're you're just talking about just the clones,
right? I just want to throw that out. I do not want to say that, especially on Memorial Day weekend. That's really right. Bad.
Right. Now we do appreciate our armed forces.
Yes, we do very much.
Friends. Yeah. Yeah.
Very
support.
Much.
You got my support no matter what. I would say, I did enjoy the aspect of this transition of these guys who are army men into, let's say it, mercenaries.
Right.
You know, because they've got to get money to live. And I did enjoy that aspect of the storytelling.
They've become the A-team.
Right. That's so true. I didn't think about that.
They are the Star Wars equivalent to the A-team. That's the exactly A-team. What they are.
They sure are. Wow. Very good. Well, except, to a certain degree, because you don't have, like, you know, the brains of the operation. Maybe that's the girl.
She says, I love it when a plan comes together, that's going to be awesome. Wrecker comes out with a mohawk.
Right. So let's talk about the girl for just a second, and we'll go back to the whole of them becoming mercenaries. And really, the whole point I wanted to make about that was it does show they're just trying to make their way in the universe, and they've got to become mercenaries just so they can live.
Again, and A-team.
Yeah, that's true. I will say this, though, with the girl – I don't know what my issue is, but her voice does not match my perceived age of what she is. Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
When Omega talks, I'm like, gosh, her voice sounds more adult than being a kid. And I don't know. I don't want to say it pulls me out. I actually don't like that phrase. It just is quirky to me. I'm like, oh, that's weird, you know, kind of thing. But maybe she is older and we just don't know it. Maybe she's a slow aging clone, but she's smart.
Well, I think she is smart. I don't know. I can't speak for her age or anything like that. I didn't really get that, though. I don't know. When
really?
I hear her, okay. I think I hear a little.
Hopefully, girl. I haven't ruined it for you.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I usually don't listen to what you say anyway, so.
Oh, wow. Mike is bringing it today.
On my second coffee.
Right. Oh, I'm still on my first. My first little energy drink thing. Okay, so. With that, so then they get this job. And so she says, I'll get your information for you if you do this for me, you know. And I did think it was kind of funny. I was like, she was like, this is how this works. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to the real world.
Right.
Kind of a thing. And I thought, okay, I like that. Okay. Do a wheeling, dealing kind of a thing. And then, and so they have to go get Munchie. And And I'll be honest with you.
Wait a minute, wasn't it Moochie?
Moochie, not Munchie.
Yeah, Moochie.
That's a Moochie. Freudian slip there.
Now we're getting. You're just hungry. That's all.
I am hungry.
Anyway, now we're now we're starting to get to where it drops a lightsaber.
Okay. All right. Explain that.
Well, I don't want to explain it until we really get into Moochie.
We'll go a little bit farther.
Yeah, we'll go a little further. Let's go a little further.
They got to get Moochie with a slave trader. I knew that. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to get this confused. You know, when they talk to the little, the little kid, okay, Moochie. And I'm like, you never established that was Moochie. I'm like, oh, they're going to do some kind of twist on who Moochie is, kind of a thing. So you kind of see that coming.
Yeah, I was a little more at that moment. I was just slightly a little more focused on the fact that Hunter sends Omega back to the ship. And I was like, yeah, I'd do the same thing. I wouldn't want her anywhere near these slave traders, which actually didn't make any difference, as we find out. But
right.
I even told Brenda, I'm like, yeah, I'd probably do what Hunter did, too, because I wouldn't want her anywhere near these slave traders because I figured she would immediately get scooped up by them. You know,
right.
Right. Which, again, I guess in a way it was the wrong choice, but I guess in a way it was the right choice because she ends up saving them.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of neat. I'm like, okay, you know, okay, they all get captured. Okay, that, you know, all right.
Again, another Hollywood trope we got to go through, but it was fine. It was fine.
Right. Well, in all fairness, they got to crank out 16 stories in one huge arc. So you got to put in some tropes throughout the whole thing to get you through.
Right.
So, then the girl's there, then they come out there and she escapes. She goes to get them. I'm sorry. I just used a lot of they. So they send Omega back to the ship. She stays there. They get the Bad Batch gets captured.
Oh, wait. We have one scene there I absolutely love with the Gonk droid, because I love Gonk droids. They're so awesome. Gonk, Gonk. They're great. And she calls him Gonky, which I think is hilarious. I love that.
Right.
I like that a lot more than when Ahsoka used to call R2 R2E. I hated that. It used to make me sick to my stomach. But somehow Gonky fits the Gonk droid. I'm fine with that. Okay. Plus, I think Omega is younger than Ahsoka was when Ahsoka started in the Clone Wars. So I think it fits better. You know what I mean? But I love how she says, "Hide, Gonky," and all he does is suck in his legs and his arms.
Right? Hide.
Yeah, it looked great. It was great.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. Well, even at that moment, so she's back at the ship. They get captured. They're back at the ship. And then they send out two scouts. The slavers do send out two scouts to go check out the thing, and they find the ship. She hides.
And these slavers have been in the Clone Wars series, by the way, too.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. They were in the Clone Wars series. It was an episode with Anakin. And I think somebody poses as a slave. I don't remember. It might have been Anakin posing as a slave. I don't remember. Okay. Of course, maybe that's too on the nose because Anakin was a slave on Tatooine. I don't remember now. I'd have to go back and watch it. But they have been in there. As soon as I seen them, I was like, oh yeah, these are the same slave traders.
The same ones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Nice little continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And all. That's cool. Okay. So they, all right. So she escapes from the ship, or, you know, she willows her way out, and all of a sudden she has a backpack. Where'd that come from? Kind of a thing.
Now she's Dory.
Right.
I didn't think about that till you said that.
Yeah.
So you're right, though. Yeah. No, I think she grabbed the backpack on her way out of the ship.
Okay.
I think so.
I must have missed that. Well, obviously I missed that. So then she goes to rescue him, and I thought, okay, you know, who is she? You know, all right, now she's all of a sudden, I'm gonna go save him, you know.
Right.
But it was okay because they were captured, and then, you know, here she is, and so then all of a sudden she's going to rescue them. And all of a sudden, she lands on something. She lands on a cage, and she's like, oh. And she's like, I'm going to create a diversion, you know, kind of a thing. So, and lets out this little, I'm going to leave it to you. What happens next?
Lets out a little what?
Lets out a big adolescent rancor.
Oh, yeah, the rancor, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, look at that.
You know, yeah, I saw that. Thing. I was like, oh, look, it's a little rancor. That's pretty cool.
Right. You know,
which I liked. I liked.
And then when you find out, okay, now, is it there that it goes back to, hey, the, you know.
Well.
So Sid is talking with, is it this point where it comes in and you realize the connection between Moochie and someone else?
Well, yeah. Somewhere in here is where Sid starts talking to a hologram. You know, somebody sends a hologram message, and we find out that the hologram. As soon as I saw it, I was like, "Oh, I know exactly who this is." It was Bib Fortuna, which is mm-hmm. Jabba's Jabba's right-hand man. Yep.
Right.
to quote a Batman movie, Bib Fortuna would be the Joker's Bob. You are my number one, a guy.
From the 90s, Batman.
I want to see Jabba do that to Bib Fortuna. So,
right, he can't with his little arms. He can't put his arms on his shoulders because he's little arms.
And I want to hear it in Huttese.
Right?
How cool would that be?
Bib, you're my number one guy. That's funny.
Anyway,
so Bib's in the hologram, and then we realize Moochie. I started making the connection at that point, going, since we know it's a Rancor, and I'm thinking, I bet you, that's Moochie for sure.
Because Omega thought it was the little green kid,
right?
And I had a feeling
all the Bad Batch guys thought so too.
Yeah, they all did. No, well, you know, it's not like our friend divulged what Moochie was. So.
Right. Right. Which gave us kind of the thing of like, oh, okay, there's going to be some kind of switcheroo or figuring out who Moochie is kind of a thing. So, right. Yeah. So.
Right.
I mean, I get it. I get it in the storytelling. They would have known it was
If you're
a kid and that was the only kid that was there and they automatically assume. Okay.
Yeah, but if you're sending somebody out on a bounty, don't you describe what they are?
That was my thought exactly. You know,
especially in a galaxy that has so many different, you know, species.
Well, she gave him like a computer chip or something. Sid did gave him a computer chip saying, well, all the information you need is there.
That's true. So your thought is that it would give what race Moochie is, but obviously it didn't because we find that, we find that out later.
Right.
When they come back. But yes, that's when we find out Moochie is actually Jabba's pet Rancor, and that's where it drops for me because they're trying to make me feel sorry for the freaking Rancor that tries to eat Luke Skywalker.
Right.
And Luke kills him, by the way.
Right. Very epically, by the way.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to feel... I don't care how cutesy you make him. He tries to eat Luke Skywalker. I'm not going to feel sorry for him.
Well, it's the same thing. Disney's doing this whole thing. I mean, this weekend, what else came out? Cruella comes out. And on Disney Plus or whatever. You know, and it's this whole thing of, well, let's make the villains relatable, you know, kind of a thing. And I'm like... it was kind of interesting the first couple of times you were doing that. Like Maleficent, I thought was
pretty okay. So, wait a minute. So, do we got to make Darth Vader cutesy?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we need to.
Right. And I like Darth Vader the way.
Connection of why they're trying to, like, oh, let's make all these ugly creatures or bad creatures or mean creatures or these villains.
No, you know what? I already liked the Rancor before. I liked him. Okay.
Right.
I think he's a cool-looking creature.
Absolutely.
I don't like him because he's cutesy. That's not why I like him. I like him because he's cool-looking. You know, when I see the Rancor, I go, wow, that's one bad-looking monster. You know,
right.
And that's the way I want to remember him. So that's why this episode drops a little for me, because I'm like, no, you're trying to make the Rancor cutesy. No. No, it doesn't work. Sorry. He tries to eat Luke Skywalker, and I'm not going to forgive him for it.
So here is my concern for the show. Are you obviously there's some things about the show that are very adultish.
Sure.
Really? I mean, and so are you an adultish show or are you a kid show? And they're like, well, we're trying to be both. You can't be both.
Sure.
You will alienate both. Like if you're a kid show, but you're showing all this, I mean, they're showing some gritty stuff. To a certain degree. And so parents are going to be like, I don't know if my kids should be watching this, but it is Disney, you know, kind of a thing. But at the same time, as adults, we're like, why are you trying to make the Rancor cutesy?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it was fine for the story. It made an interesting little twist.
Though? Well, was it though?
I mean, it made an interesting little twist. Okay.
Okay.
So,
all right, I'll give you that.
In that aspect, I'm fine with that. But again, I don't like that you're trying to make me. You're trying to force me to like the Rancor in a way that I don't want to like him. I like the Rancor because he's a badass monster. That's the reason I like the Rancor. I don't want to like him because he's cute.
Right.
He's cute. I want a stuffed animal of him. No. No.
You know, it does make you wonder how much of what they do is merchandising related.
Oh, I guarantee. I'll bet you anything. Disney Parks has a stuffed Moochie probably in the gift shops right now. I'll bet you they do.
Right, that they launched right now.
I'll bet they do.
Right. Wasn't that the issue with like Batman Forever that what's his name? Schumacher the director had to put in some stuff because they already had toys for it.
Yep. Yep.
And all.
That's why wait a minute. What movie were you talking about?
Right. The one that doesn't exist anymore.
Sorry, never heard of it. Don't know it.
I can imagine the story group being Disney's, the Star Wars story group getting there and talking around the table. Hey, we can make Moochie. Moochie in there as the Rancor and all. And they'll be like, did you meet with the merchandising department again?
Yeah. You know, I'm all for merchandising. I have no problem with merchandising, but yeah, that's
I think they need to take a lesson from Pixar. Pixar is story first. Story first kind of a thing. And maybe that's what they were trying to do is make a fun connection. And maybe that's just a nod, an Easter egg for the fans or whatever. Maybe that's all.
I guess.
I'm just saying it didn't work for me personally.
Yeah, well, it didn't work for me again because he tried to eat Luke Skywalker, and I don't have sympathy for a creature that tries to eat Luke Skywalker.
Right.
You know, let's face it, you mess with Luke, what happens to you? See, we had the Wampa who attacked Luke, and he was going to eat Luke. He put Luke in his cave. Upside down.
Hanging his meat.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It was like Luke was meat in a meat locker. You know, I'm waiting for Rocky to come up and start doing fist punches to him. Yeah. And what does the Wampa get? He gets his arm chopped off.
Right.
Rightfully so. No problem. Okay.
It was his right arm. Rightfully so, right?
nice catch. But he gets his arm chopped off. You try to eat Luke, something is going to happen to you. The Rancor, he tries to eat Luke, and he dies. Which, by the way, is also one of my favorite scenes in Return of the Jedi, because right after he dies, we get the Rancor keeper, the big, huge, fat guy.
He's crying.
Oh, you know, I'm going to have to rewatch that and see if I hear him say Moochie, because I don't know. Wow, I'll have to rewatch
that. That's for the new updated specialized edition.
Oh, Disney just put it in.
Yeah, they just edited. They're editing stuff out nowadays. Why don't they just add something else in?
and then I guess they added an ad for the plush Moochie doll too, right? Okay, all right. We spent enough time knocking on Moochie.
Moving on. Okay. All right. So next. Okay. So they get Moochie. No, there's a great big fight scene, which actually was pretty decent.
Yeah.
The whole fight with Moochie on the rampage.
I like that. That was cool when they ended up using Moochie as kind of their defense. I can go with that one. That was cool.
Yeah. And so, you know, then you got the big bad guy or the big bad slave trader, the head of the slave traders, you know, he and Hunter are going at it kind of a thing. And then I like that. I don't know what that was called. That creature was called that the slave guy was on.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Little mini dragonish kind of a thing. I like that. I thought, oh, okay. It's like a cross between a dragon and that what Ben Kenobi was.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. I don't know. You know. Were those creatures in that scene in Revenge of the Sith?
I don't know.
They might have been. I don't know. That I might have to revisit that one too.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but I enjoyed it. I thought, oh, that creature's pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, oh man, he's a little OP, you know? So, it was a good fight sequence. I thought it was good. They captured the, you know, the slave traders or whatever. And then I think realistically was my favorite scene just because I do enjoy Wrecker.
Me too.
Wrecker and this whole thing with Mucci and the more powerful one, you know, it's the whole alpha. Who's the alpha?
Right. Who's the alpha? Yeah. And if there's going to be an alpha challenge, yeah, Wrecker's going to take that on.
So I thought that was fine. And
now here's the question. Do you think Wrecker could take on Mucci when Mucci's an adult?
No.
I don't think so either.
Nope. That's a good question, though. Yeah. Nah. Only Luke Skywalker, yeah. Only the Luke can do it. Then they take it back to Sid, which, you know, I get it. You're wrapping up the show and it's like all of a sudden there they are. I mean, how did you get Mucci inside the little ship?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't even think about that.
So I was like, because I had already thought of, well, how are they going to do that?
He probably ran alongside it.
All right. So they get that. So they do that. Get Mucci back.
Which, if that's the case, do you think they'd like speed up and go, "Come on, Mucci, catch up!"
Right. Come here, boy. So they come.
Here's
back
your biscuit. Come get the biscuit.
Right. And so there's, you know, Bib Fortuna, and you know, and everybody's there and gives it to them. Okay, you know. Okay, that was fine. Whatever. But then you've got the ending scene where they get the credits, where Sid divvies up the credits with Hunter. And you get this indication that she's just in it for whatever, for the money kind of a thing or whatever, you know. I did like the part. I thought, ooh, they are going to do, you know, like you said, now I'm going to use your illustration. The A-Team. All right. They're going to start doing these mercenary trips to make money.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, we're going to take this in a little different way. But he was like, maybe let me think about it, you know, kind of. And then she's like, if they're going to send. Oh, yeah. We find out who it is. She gives him the money. And then she says, okay, here's your information.
I already knew who it was. I knew it was right. Bib Fortuna.
We all did. Well, no. We find out who the bounty hunter is.
Oh, the bounty hunter. Sorry.
Fennec. And you know, and I enjoy the aspect new on the scene. You know, that okay, we're dating. Okay, this takes place well before.
Right.
Well before, you know, Mandalorian.
And see, that's where this episode is just a little less filler, because we did have explanation that this is the beginning of her career.
Fennec's career.
Right. So, I mean, there was some information there that was shared. So I think that just makes it slightly less filler, but I still kind of consider it a filler episode.
Mm-hmm. So, they say Fennec is a direct. Whoever is hired her did it directly. And I thought that was interesting. I didn't buy the look. Hey, if they're going to get someone of Fennec's caliber to come get you, I'm like, well, you just said Fennec is new to the scene.
Yeah.
So I was like, you must know more about who Fennec is, kind of thing, you know, to give benefit of the doubt to the story.
Yeah.
I just thought that was weird.
Yeah. That is just a continuity error.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
That's like, a good whatever. Point, though. I didn't really think about that. But yeah, you make a good point, because they really emphasize the fact that she's beginning her career.
Mm-hmm.
But then that makes it sound like she's really established. I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to. Maybe they're just trying to say that she's just like a really badass bounty hunter. You know.
Maybe. Of her reputation precedes her, even though she's just started, her reputation's pretty good, kind of thing.
Yeah, that could be.
Maybe. Who do you think hired her?
Kamonians.
Yep.
Yeah, we know that. We know the Kamonians hired her. We have.
Do we?
I think we do. I think we do. I mean, who else would be hiring her?
Right.
The Cimonians
would have the money to do it.
Yes, they'd have the money. They have they have the interest. I mean, they want to get Omega back. Plus, they're concerned with losing the contract for the clones to the Empire now instead of the Galactic Republic or whatever.
Right.
now it's the Empire. So yeah, I don't know who else it would be other than the Cimonians. Mm-hmm. Because Tarkin could care less. So
right.
It's Tarkin not the Empire, you know.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I'm bringing it up is let's see how it progresses. We're kind of making our predictions on who it is, because wouldn't that be a weird twist if it was Tarkin? Kind of a thing.
That'd be a weird twist, but
it'd be a continuity issue.
Tarkin doesn't. I don't even really think Tarkin knows that Omega really exists. You know.
Oh, good call. Okay.
Because I don't think Tarkin cares enough. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He has so much dislike for the clones that why would he care about a child clone? To him, a clone is already meaningless in his eyes to begin with. A child clone, he has no interest whatsoever in that. Call. So it can't be the Empire. The Rebellion doesn't know that Omega exists, really. Mm-hmm. The only encounter we've had with the Rebellions and Omega would be Saw Gerrera's group.
Right, before they got slaughtered.
Right, and I don't even think Saw really, you know, had any interaction with Omega. So
yeah,
that puts the Rebellion out. The only thing it leaves is the Cimonians. Unless, mm-hmm. of course, we have another faction that we haven't, you know,
seen yet.
Right, and the Bounty Hunter Guild isn't just going to go after, you know what I mean? The Bounty Hunter Guild has to have a reason to go after somebody. So mm-hmm. it's not the guild itself. So, Cimonians have to be the one that hired her.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my deduction.
I'll go with that. That's true. Okay. Mark it, everybody. That's his confirmation of the prediction he's already made previously.
Well, I didn't map it out last time. I just said it's Cimonians. And right. That's why I believe it's them. I just can't see anyone else
that.
It could be. So,
right. So, so then we learn that, and then you know Sid's talking about, oh, you guys must be really, you know, here's this whole thing. If they're going to send Finnick out, you must be really important, worth a lot of money, you know, kind of a thing. And so, I was like, well, where are they going to go here now? It's just, I would never, you know. What was the whole thing? I would never betray or whatever. I don't remember what she said at the end, but it gave this tension of, ooh, can you trust Sid or not?
Yeah. Yeah. But then Sid comes back and basically confirms that she will help them. So I think that's where we get, I think we're going to see Sid again. I don't think Sid was a one and done character. I think she'll be,
especially if it's Rhea Perlman.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they paid a few bucks for her to get her voice in that. And I mean, you, why Rhea Perlman? Yeah, you. I don't think you stick that voice on a character that's just one and done.
Unless she was doing a favor for John Ratzenberger. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I don't know. Is Carla going to do Cliff any favors?
Right.
I don't think Carla ever liked Cliff. So.
Right.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, go watch Cheers.
And, oh, yeah. Cheers.
It's a great TV show.
Ted Danson. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We're going to mention him in another episode as well, because we talked about him in Spider-Man. Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah. 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 Woody. Oh, okay. Now that's when I absolutely loved Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
He was fantastic as Woody in Cheers. So,
in Cheers.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was great.
Yep.
Anyway, we're not doing an episode on Cheers. So.
Okay. All right. Done. We're talking Bad Batch, by golly.
Right. Not Cheers.
Is there, you know, So then the episode ended, you know, with this question about, okay, is she trustworthy? I do agree with you. They'll probably have her come back. The character Sid come back and stuff like that. So overall, 3 out of 5 for you.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you're like, I just did not like this about this episode, or I really like this about this episode?
The only things I didn't care for, again, the tropes, the whole, you know, the kid is smarter than the men, you know, and the kid saves the men, you know, that kind of thing. That's a Hollywood, those are both Hollywood tropes. And then of course the whole Moochie thing, I have issues with that. So, mm-hmm. But I mean, it still wasn't a bad episode. I liked Rhea Perlman. I thought she was great. I liked the introduction of her character. I thought she was fun. I mean, she could turn into, since they seem to be moving into this almost A-team position here, and she's almost Greef Karga from Mandalorian. It kind of looks like they're setting her up into that same position, you know, where Greef was giving Mando all of the his jobs. Right. Mm-hmm. So we could be getting set up into that position to where she is doing that for the Bad Batch.
So here's a pie in the sky thought for me on just big picture. What could be a what if kind of a situation, or I wonder, would be this. Is this going to be connected somehow? Do you remember how Lucas started doing the Underworld?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
TV
yeah.
Series and stuff. If this is kind of an inclination of bringing some of that in.
Well, I think the Underworld was actually a video game. I don't think it was the TV series.
No, I thought there was a series that Lucas was working on.
There was a TV series he was working on, but there was a video game that got nixed by Disney.
Oh, they'd already worked on it. I know right. what you're talking about. Yes, 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 yes.
And that went into all the Coruscant Underworld, right. which we got a taste of that in a way in the last episodes of Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. With Ahsoka, and she meets the two sisters, and
oh right,
yeah. Uh-huh. So we got a taste of that Coruscant underworld a little bit, but yeah, I think that all comes from that video game that got nixed by Disney, which I think was a mistake on Disney's part.
I still wonder if they're going to start working on this whole underworld concept.
Oh, I think they are.
That's like a whole series just on the underworld kind of a thing. So
I think eventually
I thought some of this may be leading into that. I mean, I could be wrong, but it is a thought that where it takes me.
Well, we're at a point where they're trying to make everything connect, which has good points and it has bad points. You know, as an old school Star Wars fan, there are times when I don't want questions answered. As much fun as we have getting answers to questions and connecting things, because let's face it, that is fun. We enjoy that as fans. But at the same time, I remember as a kid, you know, being fascinated with the whole term of Clone Wars, you know, because back then we had no idea what this was.
We had no idea what that was.
And as kids,
back in the Clone Wars.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
As kids, you know, we got our action figures and we're imagining what the Clone Wars is like and, you know, playing that out in our minds with our action figures and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So sometimes questions should be left unanswered. So at least kids can imagine, okay, well, this is what I think happens here, you know,
right.
That kind of thing. But we're at a point where Disney's trying to connect every single little thing, and like I said, yeah. I think it has good aspects, and I think it has bad aspects.
So I want to parallel this a little bit with what Marvel is doing. You know, Marvel is all about continuity, and you hear all the stories about the directors getting frustrated about the continuity. I get that. But one of the things they're doing is the What If series is coming out.
Oh yeah,
And I'm like, okay, all right, I can do that. Don't call it a multiverse. Call it a what if.
Well,
there you go.
Marvel had to
get it in every episode. I hate the multiverse.
Marvel had a very successful comic series, What If. And it's just a fun way to explore other ideas with characters, you know.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. It's cool. And you know,
I don't have any problems if Star Wars started doing that.
If Star Wars did that, I say yes, because then I can get Heir to the Empire in its full glory.
Goodness, could you imagine?
Oh.
Oh my goodness, that would be fabulous.
I would absolutely. Now, granted, I think if they did that, they would have to do it as an animated. Because first of all, if you did it as live action, it's going to have to be a full on trilogy, which would be as big as the original trilogy itself, or any of the trilogies for that matter. And they would have to spend a ton of money on it, and then it would end up rivaling their I don't know if you can call the sequel trilogy new anymore, but it would end up being a rival to the sequel trilogy. And to me, yeah, it would be, in my opinion, it would be the true Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. It'd be really but good. That's It'd what be would awesome. Happen if they did that as live action. So I think if Star Wars went that route, if Disney and LFL went a what-if route, it would have to be a animated series. 'Cause let's face it, a lot of people don't look at animated. I know all of us hardcore fans, we're like, no, it's all canon. It's all canon. It's all canon, you know. But there are those who are outside of us hardcore fans who, you know, they only look at what's at live action. They, you know, anything animated is for kids. They don't want to see that. It's, you know, and they don't consider it. So, so I think that would be the way for Disney to do that if they went that route. But I'm all for it. Yeah, give me an animated version of Heir to the Empire. I'll take it. I will eat that all up.
Or even Dark Empire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, give me both.
Right.
I'm cool with that. There are so many stories in the original EU that I would absolutely love to see fleshed out in an animated form, because again, I don't think you can do live action, because once you do live action, it's going to contradict everything that you've done.
I used to be all about live action, and then I started seeing like some of the DC animated films and what they were doing, and I was like, dude, this is good stuff. So, you know, I'm totally okay if they start doing more animated movies, not TV series per se, but they maybe want to do that just because of Disney Plus, you know, getting people to come back to Disney Plus, you know, over and over or whatever. So,
yeah, but Disney's already got so many animated series out there. I think they could do some Star Wars animated feature length movies. I don't see why not.
I would like that. Yes.
What would be the difference between doing that and the regular Disney animated stuff that they already do, you know?
Right.
I don't see any problem with it.
I don't see why, you know.
Yeah.
If you're going to milk this franchise, that almost came out funny. Look at all the stuff that's on Disney Plus. I'm thinking, you guys made that? Dude, you can make, well, maybe that's because we're biased, because we love Star Wars, or, you know, we love, you know, this world. Kind of a thing. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah. Hey, speaking of which, Heir to the Empire, not saying anything about who they're looking for the actress for Mara Jade, but I think the issue is they're looking for someone for Mara Jade, is the rumor.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's been a rumor now since January. So I think we will see Mara Jade come into live action. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, I think that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are working hard to get some of those expanded universe characters of old back in as canon.
Popular. The ones that were popular.
Right, exactly. And let's face it, Mara Jade, she, as far as her popularity, she ranks right up there with Grand Admiral Thrawn. I mean, in my opinion, she is just as important as Grand Admiral Thrawn. I love that character. I've always said that she is one of my favorite Star Wars characters who's never been in a film whatsoever, or for that matter, even in an animated series for that matter. So yeah, I am all for bringing Mara Jade over. I have
lightsaber and all.
Yes. She would be the second purple lightsaber in Star Wars right now. I think. I don't think anyone else besides Mace Windu has had a purple lightsaber.
I don't know.
There's a great story behind his purple lightsaber, too. Because Sam Jackson requested a purple lightsaber.
Purple lightsaber.
Because he wanted to see himself on the screen in that big, huge battle with all the Jedi. He's like, look, I want to be able to point myself out. I want a purple lightsaber. Something that's different from everybody in there. And the maker himself, George Lucas, said, oh, okay, we'll give you a purple lightsaber. Whatever you say, Sam.
Right. Yeah.
My feeble attempt.
I want a mother light purple lightsaber.
All right, Sam, calm down. We'll give you a purple lightsaber. Now shut up.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. All right. So we're digressing. So hey, we probably should wrap this episode up.
Now we're just getting slap happy.
I think so, by God. I think our caffeine's kicking in. Yeah.
All right.
Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Any last comments or thing about this episode of The Bad Batch?
No, I enjoyed it. I just don't think it's been the best episode of the series so far, which is, you know.
It wasn't a bad episode.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
You're always going to have those episodes that are okay.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what this was. It was like, okay.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't great. Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. Yeah. In between. All right. Well, cool. All right, everybody. Woohoo. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to check out our website, twogeeksmike.com, because that is our hub for everything else. So you can find links to everything else. Our Ko-fi page, Facebook, our Twitter, the whole things and stuff, YouTube, the whole bit. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you having us, being here with us. And also, with these bonus episodes, I hope you're enjoying them as we're talking about just TV shows and doing that. But we still have our regular episodes every Friday.
So, right.
And if you are on Ko-fi.
And we promise to try and put the right episode with the right title next time.
Yeah, we do apologize for that, for the one that came out yesterday, Jupiter's Legacy.
Whoopsie.
Right. But you can get on Ko-fi, $2. If you just buy us a coffee at $2 for that month, you get everything. You get everything opens up for you, all extra episodes, videos, and stuff like that. If you'd like to go there and check us out on that too. So,
and we do have the Jupiter's Legacy up there, full video Jupiter's Legacy episode for anyone who gets onto Ko-fi. That one's available.
Yeah, you don't have to, you know, buy us a coffee to get access to that.
We felt bad about putting out the wrong episode, so we decided to.
Yeah, right. Right. So, all right. Well, with that, Mike, you want to sign us out for the day?
Okay. With that said, over and out, and may the Force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the Force be with you.